This brigade is going to be responsible in particular for being sort of the belly button for the cyber protection teams that the Army is building as its contribution to U.S. Cyber Command. Each of the military services are doing this, and these teams are going to be one of three different types. This particular type is going to be in charge mainly of defending DoD's own networks. The importance of this particular part of that is it sets up a brigade structure that looks just like, you know, any other element of the Army or of the military, in a way that people who don't deal with cyber and IT in a day-to-day basis can recognize. So again, it institutionalizes cyber into the typical Army structure. So it again sends the message that, you know, these aren't the tech support guys, that they're actually part of the mission. A second really important element that the Army announced over the past week is that it's looking very closely at establishing a dedicated career field, and in fact an entire branch that is dedicated to cyber. There's been rumblings about this over the past few months, but the Army made it clear over the past week that that's probably going to come into activation next month. And again, this is going to be something that very much resembles the rest of the institutional Army. So having a cyber branch would look a lot like, you know, the aviation branch or the infantry branch in the Army. And let me play a real quick clip here from Colonel Carmen Chickalese. He's the Army's director for cyberspace operations at the Pentagon. And he described what he sees as some of the pluses of having that dedicated cyber branch in an interview with me a couple weeks ago.
One, it gives you an identity. It gives you a professional identity. And that's an important part of being the profession. And whether it's the profession of arms or cyber within the profession of arms. But the other part it does is it helps establish a guaranteed training and education and professional career path, so that you have a way of moving throughout your career into growth positions and then ultimately leadership positions, so that 20, 30 years from now, we'll have general officers and sergeant majors who came through a cyber track. And they will be truly steeped in cyber with regards to Army operations and, of course, joint operations, because it is a joint game. And that professional track is really what helps build the profession of arms.
And again, that's Carmen Chickalese, Colonel Carmen Chickalese. He's the director for cyberspace operations for the Army at the Pentagon. And again, I think it's not even so much just a building the prestige of the profession thing so much as it is as creating a dedicated pipeline so that you don't do what the Army and the other military services have been doing so far, which is, even though they're putting people through a very high level of training. By the way, it takes about 3 years of dedicated training to build a cyber operator. Because there's no dedicated career path, there's no guarantee that, you know, an E6 enlisted soldier won't spend just 1 year doing a really high level cyber job and then go back into the career path that he or she came from, which might be, you know, military intelligence or signals, and go back and do something that's really not, you know, directly in the cyber field as we think of it. And I don't want to say that 3 years of training goes to waste, but it's certainly not being utilized as much as you would hope it would be. So That's one of the things that this dedicated career path is designed to fix.
So, Jared, let me ask you, how does this fit in with all the cyber commands that there are? There are the U.S. Cyber Command, the Army has its own. Would these people in this new profession, as you were, would they automatically be working for Cyber Command? And how would it change the cyber commands?
Well, it would professionalize the entire field of cyber, I think, especially from the Army perspective. The other services are looking at similar types of things. I think the Air Force is probably ahead of everybody in terms of creating dedicated career paths that where people can stay in cyber for an entire career. But, you know, just like any other sort of combatant command, it's the service's responsibility to man, train, and equip their forces, and then contribute those forces at the request and, you know, according to the demand signals that cyber command would have or the geographic combatant commanders would have for them. So it's really still a service function to build and, like I said, man, train, and equip their forces in the way they see fit, according to hopefully some joint standards that Cyber Command is putting together. But this is really something that starts with the services, which is why it's important that the Army is doing what it's doing.
And when we talk about the cyber profession, we're talking about attacking online as well as defending military or national networks, right?
That's right. So the three types of teams that Cyber Command has asked the military services to build are the one that we talked about a few minutes ago, the cyber protection teams, which are mainly in charge of defending DOD's own network. Then you have another set of teams that are exclusively dedicated basically to computer network attack. And then you have a third type of teams that are supposed to respond in the event that the U.S.'s own privately owned or non-DOD critical infrastructure comes into attack, comes under attack. So that's really sort of a hybrid defense and offense team in the event that that the water treatment systems of the country or the electric grid comes under attack, they go back after the attackers. So those are really the three types of teams. The only formal brigade structure that the Army has set up so far is for the cyber protection teams, the ones in charge of defending DOD's own networks. But it would not be surprising to see, other brigade type formations come into effect for the other functions that Army performs in cyber. They have been asked to put together a total of 41 teams. A majority of those are for this network protection function, and this new brigade that's going to be hosted at Fort Gordon, Georgia, at the Army's Network Enterprise Technology Command is going to host about 20 of those overall 41 teams.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's DOD reporter Jared Serbu. And Jared, in your online notebook, you also write about the ongoing effort, it seems like this has been going on forever, that the Department of Defense has in building an electronic health record system and one that can talk with the Veterans Affairs Department. Can you just update us on that?
Yeah, so just to bring folks up to speed, a couple weeks ago, the Defense Department issued a request for proposals to basically buy a commercial off-the-shelf electronic health record system that will hopefully one day be interoperable with VA, although that part of the effort is sort of on a separate track right now. But it's just the latest chapter in DOD's efforts to modernize its existing health record system called ALTA. And one of the things that I tried to point out in the notebook this month is that the noises that the Defense Department officials who are managing this project seem to be making lately is they've really come to the conclusion lately that they're not just buying an incremental upgrade to ALTA that where, you know, the new EHR is basically going to do the same types of things that the old EHR did, only with more modern state-of-the-art technology. What they've come to realize is that even though VA and DOD were some of the first big healthcare organizations to implement electronic health records, in the meantime, the commercial state of the art has leapfrogged them so much in terms of capability and the way that that those technologies integrate with every other piece of technology. It's really surprised them, I think, and they're really excited about some of the possibilities that this might offer while this entire saga has been drying out. Let me just play a clip here from Lieutenant General Douglas Robb. He's the director of the Defense Health Agency.
But now it's going to tell me, hey, here's based on your data, based on your history, based on this, I'm getting these clinical support tools. But at the same time, I'm feeding my logistics system. I'm feeding my automatic resupply and surgery. You know, I'm lead turning what I may need for personnel in support of what is scheduled to come into the OR the next day. So that's why it's so complicated for this electronic health record. Doc, it's just a digitized version of your health care. No, it's not anymore. It's a business support tool. Whole business support tool, which has really only come out in the last 2 or 3 years, clinical support tool in the last 3 to 5 years, and then before that it was just digitized.
And so again, I think they're now thinking about this instead of just sort of like an ALTA 2.0, basically building on the capabilities that they had, something that might have the opportunity to kind of revolutionize the way that they do business throughout the entire DOD healthcare organization. And that's one of the reasons that, according to DOD anyway, they're going to insist that once they buy whatever commercial product that they buy, they don't do what the government always does and insist on tons of government unique modifications to the software. The message that they say that they're trying to send is that they've got to lock down the configuration. Otherwise, this deployment of this thing to the over 1,000 sites where it's eventually going to go, both in the continental United States and overseas, is going to be a complete failure because every single one of those sites will be allowed to customize the software according to their unique business practices, rather than kind of doing the change management on the front end that we always hear about, so that the business processes work well with the software rather than trying to work the software into 1,000 different business processes.
So keep it simple. Now, you said that they've been thinking about how to do this. Any sense of what the time frame is?
Yes, we have heard some rumblings of trying to do this quickly. They're hoping to make an award, I think, by the end of this year. The full deployment is going to take, I think you'd have to say, several years. The first, they're going to do kind of a phased approach by geographic region. And the first rollout is going to be in the Puget Sound area in Washington State sometime during 2016, I believe.
Okay. And just a clarification, the end of the fiscal year or the end of this calendar year?
End of the calendar year, I think, is when they're hoping to make the award, yeah.